From English to Hebrew? Anybody?
No, no, so kind of get used to it. Can you hear at the back okay? In the talk with you this afternoon, I would like to explore with you the field of mindfulness, both outwardly and inwardly, and initially make some reference to the climate emergency which we are enduring, and that relationship to mindfulness and, in fact, to being here. There is a very, very slow but gradual awakening taking place that we are in what we might describe as certain critical times. There is enough thoughtful and intelligent scientific information which is reminding us and telling us that human behavior, particularly in the form of greed more than anything and violence more than anything else, is having a very harmful and damaging impact on the lives of people, on the lives of animals and creatures, on the elements, and on whole ways of life. And the impact of all of this needs to be of a very real, deep, daily, ongoing concern, and it will not change until there is a genuine change in our way of living, our whole lifestyle. So in the talk with you this afternoon, I wish to address the outer, give a few points of information to you, explore that relationship to mindfulness, the body and the elements, and see that there are bigger links and connections than what we often see and appreciate, due to the fact, as I just mentioned, of living in somewhat critical times. Some of the evidence for that this summer in Europe and elsewhere, that record temperatures were broken. They were broken in 11 different countries, that history books, such as in Germany, scholars went to the past for 500 years and could not find any record of any parallel heat that was taking place in the summer. We see this volatile changes in the climate, and what is important in all of this, we have the evidence, scientific evidence, through thousands of scientists working together to pinpoint some of the major primary causes for this. And evidence, as I say with this, shows itself in the consequences particularly. And what I have in mind in terms of the evidence, the huge industry, it's not going to go on for too long, I'm not forgetting it's a meditation retreat, but I might. It includes in the view there of the huge impact of the fossil fuel world. 15% of the issues of methane gas and production is in the agricultural world, in the farming world. We have all the travel that takes place there, land, sea and air, which also has its constant impact in our very homes there, we are significant contributors to this. And when we speak of refrigeration, when we speak of the heating devices that we use in many, many countries, when we speak of the air conditioning, it all having a really significant impact. And what so easily can happen, as the Western propaganda system does again and again and again, is keep blaming the other, saying they are responsible and not us taking a full, clear responsibility. And I've noticed with this more recently, though good people in the United Nations, mentioned to you yesterday briefly, please are encouraging us that we have to change the diet. It is critical. We have to stop eating these animals, cows, birds, fish, pigs, sheep, and much, much more, because of all the gases which are produced. And now there's some attention going on, I see it in my research there, to start blaming and putting more and more fault on the rice farmers. It's a typical strategy which goes on to deflect it away from the deforestation, the huge cattle farms, the cattle industry, and shifting the responsibility on these poor rice farmers. Those of us who have spent years, I spent 10 years in the East, living in the villages close to the rice paddies, the monastery which I lived in, what China literally means, the monastery at the edge of the rice paddy. Yeah. And certainly the rice paddies certainly have some responsibility. There is some flooding in the rice paddies. It's well known, we've witnessed it enough time. But the resolution of this actually is extraordinarily easy. There's all that is required is one plastic tube. And with the plastic tube, there are holes in it. And so the plants, when they rot, give off the methane gas. This contributes to 10% of the methane gas in the agricultural industry. Not in the whole, in that industry, in that world. And all the farmer has to do is to have one of these tubes, and it's a wet and dry policy to let the rice paddies, which feed 2 out of 3 people in this world, it's a huge world, the rice paddy as the staple diet, so that the water dries in a week or 10 days, and then he or she can continue their farming. And we need this precious resource. And so if you read anything about what is taking place in climate change and climate emergency, I ask you, please, don't repeat either Christopher or what somebody else says to you, but actually check out what is the source of the information. Because if we don't check out the source of the information, it could be that vested interests, powerful, rich corporate interests, of trying to find ways to stop us really addressing the question. And is it any wonder people feel disheartened, feel dismay, feel it is a hopeless task? It isn't a hopeless task, but it's going to need change. And even as we sit here, as a small example, I've only got a minute left, hang in. We sit here, what we hear every day in here, air conditioning. There are 1.6 billion air conditioning units. Not only with these air conditioning units, of course, it's all fossil fuels, it's all coming out of a huge industry. There's also the problem of their disposal, apart from their emissions. Why? Because we feel uncomfortable if it's not on. A friend of mine came to my home, and in the winter, it's Britain, it's chilly, it's cold, and he saw me walking around in the house in the winter with low temperature and just an extra pullover, you understand pullover? An extra jumper on top. And he said to me from another European country, I've never had a pullover on in the winter in my home, in my life. I just have a t-shirt on. And I said, shame on you. That's nothing to boast about. So rather than us pinpointing blame elsewhere, as it's so easy to do, we need to explore this, we need to discuss this, we need to find ways to change human behavior. That is the task. We cannot continue in this way, which is so offensive to intelligence, so uncaring in the way we treat people, animals, and the environment. It's a tragic situation, and our children know this. Our children are not silly, they're not foolish. They are having their conversations. It's the children on the Fridays, the Fridays for the Future, who are leaving their school classrooms. They are going to demonstrations. They are writing their protests. 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, we see them in Europe. And we have to ask ourselves in this serious time for our species and for other species, what are we doing? We've lost 62% of all creatures on this earth since 1970. And sometimes what we see, that there are extraordinary women and men on this earth who are really working hard to change this situation. And Extinction Rebellion, those of you here who have heard of it, is doing extraordinary work. In the space of since the first demonstration, 100,000 people plus in Britain have signed up and joined it for these campaigns. And they've got plenty more in stock, and they will shake this system. And that mindfulness, as the Buddha said repeatedly, in the context of the application of mindfulness, it is said, outwardly and inwardly. It is not intended to be an insular, inward-looking practice. It's inner and outer. Outer, be mindful of what's going on there. Be mindful of what is going on within us. Be mindful of the relationship between the two. And if we get this right, then there is some room for wisdom and action. And if we don't, within a generation or two, we have no idea what the state of this earth will be. It's us, the living ones, the ones who still have capacity to feel, to think, to reflect, to know, and particularly to act. It's a huge global undertaking. And there's no alternative. The behaviour of our politicians, the behaviour of the corporate world, the behaviour of the military and of the industries is actively working against us. And it's the grassroots people like you and myself and others. We're the ones with the voice of concern. We're the ones who have the right to change and speak up. All right, enough. What is the relationship of that outer, all of that, to here? It's pretty easy. One doesn't need any great intelligence for this. This morning with the instructions there, that in the instructions, using this bare text of the Buddha, there is these four encouragements, guidelines, recommendations, however we might call it. And when we look at this body, in the old way of looking, we can consider it in terms of the elements. And in that simple but helpful perception, the body is made up of some elements. So the label is, I am a human being. That is a description. We then, from the label, the identity, and in fact the identity is just a word actually, it's not necessarily very helpful, especially when we say, oh, I am Homo sapiens. Now, who on earth ever dreamt that idea up? Homo sapiens, you know, Homo is person, sapiens is wisdom. In one of my books, I expressed a doubt about Homo sapiens and said it might be closer to the truth if we referred to ourselves as Homo shoppians. Anyway, so there is this body. We, as small creatures of this earth, are extraordinarily sensitive. There's the sensitivity of the body in a whole variety of places. Probably one of the most sensitive spots in the body are these two eyes looking out here. But there are other places which are sensitive. And that sensitivity means that the body can be impacted, obviously, from the environment. Obviously. And if the environment didn't have any impact upon us, we wouldn't age. The hair which is white and thinning, long, long time ago, it's in the distant past, it was like this young man over here, and I'll go a bit closer, and this man over here, etc. It was dark. And for several years, there was nothing on top at all because I was a shaven-headed Buddhist monk wearing orange curtains. So sometimes we look at the past and we see the influence of the environment has an impact on the way we look, on the aging process. So we're not self-existent. We are truly environmental creatures. Enviro-mental. The environment cannot be in any way separated from here. The environment has its influence, and we see that day in and day out. So in the impact it has, one of the ways it shows itself is on the body. It has to. If it didn't, we wouldn't age. We'd all stay in perfect, whatever perfect might be. So when we look at this, we say, here is the composite, and I want you to meditate on these things and reflect on these things as a contribution to a new kind of human being. And in the touch of this, for the elements, we say, okay, here is the... I'm slapping my knees here, I hope you can hear. The earth element, material element, biology, organic life, cells, expressions of nature. You're getting the point. This stuff called the body, made up of the elements, subatomic particles, you might say, or organic life, is clearly and obviously the same stuff out there. It has to be. How could a human being constituted and formed out of this world of nature and extraordinary evolution be any different from what's out there? We are of the same stuff. And if we are of the same stuff, the relationship to what's out there impacts on the stuff here called I am a human being, and what is here impacts on the stuff out there. And it's the deep question of the human being: what is my relationship to the stuff here and the stuff there? And if one's not asking that question, you're wasting your life. If one is not deeply exploring what interconnectedness is all about, what the conditions which arise are all about, my goodness me, what has happened to us? And I do not see the answers in the educational system. I do not see the answers on Facebook. I do not see the answers in religion or in philosophical speculations. I think it's in the core of our human experience to look at this dynamic and relationship, to be deeply mindful of it. Because it can't go on like it is. It's unacceptable to our intelligence. And if we feel in all of that alone and isolated, then we take steps for the connections with others. While we are here, and in our meditations, in fact, of being here, in the meditations on the body, the guidelines were for the meditations on the body. One experiences or knows the experiences of breathing in long and breathing out long. And that connection with the life, the physical life, the breathing in long and the breathing out long, and getting connected with that has an immense number of values if you and I sincerely practice it. And one of the important values is the connection with it. Probably known, you probably are aware, possibly with yourself, maybe with others, maybe with our precious children, the enormous harm upon human beings owing to body image. Not body actuality, but body image. And with the persecution of the advertising industry, we have got tragically caught up in a body image. And it's so strong that our children and our grandchildren are suffering and rejecting themselves and thinking of self-harm because of the body image they have. It's not just with adult women and men. And an image is not the event. An image, obviously, is a picture of who I am or what I am. And that disconnect leaves us with the body image, and we obsess when we have an image in front of us around other women and men. And we obsess about it within ourselves. I don't like this about myself. I don't like that about myself. I'm ugly, I'm old, I'm short, I'm fat, I'm tall, I'm thin, la, la, la. Image, 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 image. And the teachings are about dissolving image, because it's the false, it's the manufactured, it's the story that you've been told so you would buy products to make you feel better. And we say this teaching is to break through image and actually to experience the fact, the life of the body, the vibrations of the body, the sensations of the body, to be what it is to be in this extraordinary earth physically. And that's nothing to do with image. It's the fact. We are on this earth. We can experience the body. We don't need an image about it, and we can respond to its needs with respect and with love and with care, with our diet, with our posture, with our movements, with our stillnesses there. And really feel at home and clear with it, because we've seen the construction of the image and the damage it does to human life. Suicidal it is for far too many people. What has happened to us that we can react so strongly when people hate themselves, hate what they look like, blame themselves, find fault with ourselves? What's gone on with us? Surely we're decent, caring, and we can touch that place inside of us and say, wow, there's something which needs to be freed up. And to bring something precious and beautiful out of the being. Never, I say, let's cut through the image. Let's just be with the bare act of breathing in long, breathing out long. Experiencing the body, the vibrations, the sensations are there. Sometimes painful, of course, sometimes it's going to be painful there. And then as the instruction also reminds us as well with the breathing process, at times to intentionally experience the calming of the body. Intentionally and purposefully experiencing the calming of the body. And when there is greater calmness being found with the body, of course that will help to stand out those aches, those pains, those locations in the body where there is some contractions and holding going on. And so we have the four postures to experience this stuff, this extraordinariness called the body. We have the sitting and the walking and the standing. We have the yoga class in the morning. If you need the energy to move more easily, you just go on the lawn and dance. I call it Dharma dancing. It helps my Orthodox Buddhist friends to feel more comfortable. So you just dance, or you just take the walk. You let the energy flow. You feel the life of the being. And therefore that's a contribution towards the mindfulness of the long breath, mindfulness of the short breath, mindfulness of breathing out, with the view to experiencing the body at the way that it is, being clearly in touch with it. Sometimes, quite naturally, we feel more calming in the body to come about. And sometimes, as I mentioned, a little bit more intentionality for that. The other postures also are precious and important, and like most things in life, it requires from us some practice. You know, it's the buzzword in these kind of circles. But sometimes when I'm in here, just to, on the other subject for a moment, the air conditioning, I'm out of the old school, a little bit more hardcore condition. So time to time, coming here to Aindhoven, listening to the, what I call the bourgeois middle-class comforts, called the air conditioning, the thought has arose, the activist thought in me, to do one small thing for the retreat. Get a small screwdriver and take the plug off. And then feel the natural life. Will be a little bit warmer, and all that it is, frankly, is a mild change in the sensation. We won't die. We won't have a heart attack. We'll grumble. Who does he think he is to deprive us of our bourgeois comforts, etc. However, as I mentioned, so far it's only the thought. So if you see me in here with a screwdriver in the middle of the night, the thought's gone to action, with no apologies. All right. Maybe I should ask the staff about the screwdriver. Anyway, no. Right. So sometimes we look to our own life. We see what kind of steps there. We're getting, I hope, some reminders in the time that we are here. And when we make some shifts in the posture to the standing posture, which I think is just a precious and beautiful posture, it does take some time to get used to it, like anything else. That getting used to it might mean that after a few minutes in the standing posture, it could be that your ankles feel a bit sore, your knees ache a little bit, a little bit of pain in the lower back, and when there's a little bit of discomfort in human beings, the most popular mantra on the retreat then starts to arise: what am I doing here? Far more popular than Hare Krishna, Hare Ram mantra, far more popular than Om Mani Padme Hum, the five-worded mantra, what am I doing here, starts to set in once it starts to get uncomfortable. And the standing meditation of the three is probably, of the four, is probably the least popular. Therefore we have it. And with the standing meditation, the 2 feet on the ground, as a fact and as a reminder of our deep connection with the earth. Pretty simple, to remind ourselves of our deep connection with the earth, to view this experience. And when the eyes are closed, just as right now, as you sit here, and if you or I close our eyes, can you honestly tell the difference in the moment? You're just putting your back, your attention, your mindfulness to your bum, right here and now. Can you honestly tell the difference between where your bum ends and where the meditation cushion starts? We can't. What better confirmation of the interconnectedness of the human being with the earth? When it stands on the earth and you feel under the feet, can we say, oh, this is just the feet and this is just the earth, and there is some kind of gap between the two? And just the standing or the sitting on the back side is a reminder of the interconnectedness. If that gets well established with us, it will be a contribution to changing one's life. One can't even believe any longer in self-existence and the myth of it, the propaganda of it, which has separated us from each other, where we have forgotten that we are made of the same stuff, where we have forgotten that the Palestinian community is made of the same stuff as we are, and those who want that dreaded Brexit situation are made of the same stuff as those who wish to remain. And we're here to feel the connections, to feel the deeper element, and then, not as an end, but then to listen what might come out of the connection born of first-hand experience. What might touch me? What might it show me which my introverted, self-obsessing existence cannot show me? Then we're on a real adventure. Whoa. Then things can happen. In a little bit on the climate emergency, as you can tell, I'm hot on the heat a bit there with the meetings. And something rather lovely happened, I have to say. The dear founding fathers and mothers, just over a year ago, said we have to do something more than what Friends of the Earth is doing, or the UN is doing, or Greenpeace is doing, and the other activist group. This is what I mean by connection. So some of you may know, they occupied some of the bridges in London. That was one of the early major actions. And various friends, including some Dharma teachers, were on the bridges, and they lay down on the bridges horizontal and they stop the traffic. This indirectly is an encouragement for you to go and close down Tel Aviv. And they lay there on the bridges there. And then the police came, and the camera crews, and the news media came, and the only vehicles allowed across the bridges were the ambulances. So they're all lying there, on hundreds of them, on these bridges. And the rule is, amongst the activists, to be, it's very Buddhist style, to be very polite and very kind, not get angry, and talk sweetly to the police officers. It's the first commandment of the new kind of activist. And in the communication to the police officers, they said, please, please arrest us. We want 500 people, please, to arrest us today. Because the more arrests, the more publicity to work on the climate emergency. And the police said, we want to arrest you. Have no doubt about it. You're obstructing the traffic. You're breaking the law. We want to arrest you. But we can't, because the government have made so many cuts in the police force. We haven't got enough police officers, and we haven't got the vehicles to put you in to take you away. So they ended up arresting only 89, which is very disappointing there. And in the jails, including friends told me, who got arrested, when they released them out of the cell there, the police officers said that our children have told us to look after you, you who are arrested, because you, the ones who are arrested, are looking after us and our future. So the kids told the fathers, look after these activists, because they're looking after us and our future. And some of the vehicles had to go 80 kilometres to find some empty cells to put them in. And this changing from aggression and violence and anger is touching people. It's a different kind of protest. It's a different kind of concern there. And so they even managed to bring a huge boat right into, I don't know how they did it, the activists, a huge boat in the middle of the city, this huge wooden thing. And it had music and dancing, and the city was closing down. And that, now there's a huge plan, a huge protest I can't tell you about because it's on October, but I can tell you the date, October the 7th. Remember to read Haaretz on October the 8th. It's a fine newspaper, by the way, you've got there. It's a pity only 8% read it, but anyway. So, we look at the inner life of the mindfulness. We see the commonality. We start looking at connection of the backside with the cushion, the connection of the feet with the ground, the connection with each other. We begin to look at a life in that relationship form. We do want to check out the tensions and the stresses that we may experience in the body, and to see if we could just breathe through. When in the sitting practice, or any other posture, you may need to change the posture after a period of time there. If you can, if you wouldn't mind, as a practice, to see if you can return back to the original posture. So what I mean by that say it's the standing meditation, which will be a bit later. You might just bend there. If you want, you sit down for a minute or two. You bend the back, you lift the knee, leg up, or whatever it might be, with the view to returning back to where you were. If you practice this quietly and steadily, the body will appreciate. It will feel glad to be in the posture. The relationship will feel, I am a human being and I'm standing on this earth, and in a certain spiritual, existential way, I'm standing for life. I'm standing up for what matters. I'm standing to be true to something deep. So it's standing with that precious symbolic symbol as well. Keep it alive in yourself. We have a lot to do while we live. Let's not sleepwalk through this existence. Let's not get to the point, and I've heard this voice many times, when a person has got to the age of 50, got to the age of 60 or more, and said, come on a retreat, perhaps for the first time in his or her life, and they've said, my whole life has been about materialism. My whole life has been about getting more. My whole life has been about making money. And the person has said to me, Christopher, I've wasted my life. And I said, you're right. You have. Not easy. I've listened to the tears. I've watched the tears of so-called successful people. But then, in that breakthrough of insight, in that realization, I've wasted my life. And then the obvious question comes next. From today, you can stop wasting your life. You've had an insight. You've had a realization. It's precious. Look at the tears from you. And sometimes out of that emergence, out of that sudden waking up, that man, that woman, has started to reflect, started to make some real important changes in which the world of consumerism and this most destructive ideology that's ever been on this earth starts to fade away in the importance. And there's a quest, a search going on, which is bigger than that. And that's the terrific potential of men and women on the earth, to look carefully, look deeply, look at this, the stuff of life, the interconnectedness, and take those bold and rather brave steps there to find and stay true to something. And these retreats and these explorations, as I mentioned to you already, they are intended as a small contribution to this, an important one. Please practice well and diligently in these days here. Please practice for the welfare of others, the welfare of the animals, the welfare of the environment. Please practice carefully and mindfully for the benefit of the children in the world, of the little ones, and the ones who are coming into the world. Please bring the very best and the most beautiful and the most deep out of your human being. Let's have a quiet minute together, shall we, please? May all beings live mindfully of the inner and the outer situation. May all beings explore the power of change. May all beings live with love and liberation.